internet site for irreverent, cool, and entertaining talk programming. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
Two firsts and a last converge to form a perfect storm of events, which Backtime remembers is happening on October 21st. On this date in 1879, darkness's days became numbered as Thomas Edison first demonstrated the electric light. Today, back in 1960, the final Kennedy-Nixon presidential debate held. Nixon beaten so badly, pundits predicted the end of his political career. And in 1992, Madonna's erotic coffee table book, Sex, went on sale. That's Back Time for October 21st. This is your announcer speaking.
President Bush will airdrop his surefire Texas chili recipe to starving third world nations. It's the Onion Radio News. This is Doyle Redland reporting. In a bold and generous move to end third world hunger, President George Bush ordered a massive airlift of 1 billion copies of his red-hot, rib-sticking, Texas-style chili recipe.
I believe strongly that the key is the spice. You starving folks, you follow this recipe real close, you're going to be in for some good eating.
Critics say the president's third world recipe initiative requires too many hard-to-find ingredients, and they're calling for substitutions such as locusts and finely ground rubble to replace hard-to-find onions. They also agree that the chili should simmer all day over a burning hut. Doyle Redland for The Onion Radio News on TheOnion.com.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Hero.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
You dress as Santa Claus and spend all day with sticky, screeching children squirming atop your lap. Do you do it for the extra cash or because you secretly enjoy it?
How about a background check?
You, Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, man the free ear-piercing kiosk. You pull the trigger on that piercing gun, proving you're not afraid to get a little holiday blood on your hand.
Ow! I hope that thing was sterile.
Because donning a rent-a-cop uniform and dozing in your patrol car instead of protecting patrons in the parking lot means you've got what it takes to be Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Wake up, I'm getting mugged.
So the next time you're stuck in the food court because some holiday halfwit can't locate the cash register's hold the pickles button, raise your finger in salute to Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee, a real American hero.
Mr. Seasonal Mall Employee.
Minimum wage, no health benefits either.
And now from high atop the LA Talk Radio building, it's time for Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Sam and Susie in the Morning.
Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, October 24th.
Oh my gosh, the month's almost over.
Yes. And you got two pigtails
it's
today.
It's not October 24th.
21st.
21st.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Well, I spoke over the music. Maybe you didn't hear.
Oh, okay. I was it like, oh my gosh, don't tell me it's 24th. Oh, it's my sister's birthday. Thank you for reminding me.
Oh. Your oldest sister?
My oldest sister. She's 31 today.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. I did not send her a card. Shoot.
So what's with the pigtails today?
I don't know. Bad hair day?
Yeah?
Well,
they're pretty cute. I mean, you're like looking cuter every day. Pretty soon you look like a 13-year-old.
Oh, why, thank you. Actually, no, pigtails used to be one of my signature looks when I had like long, all-length one hair. And I would always just put in these like really high, like perky pigtails, total like cheerleader style. I used to call them my handles. People would always come into the bar and they're like, oh, Susie, oh, you look so cute. Oh, I love those pigtails. And I'm like, they're handles, baby.
Yeah,
and people are just like, oh, my God. Well, you know, you grab either one, like a handle, and then you're just like,
yes. Humping.
Yes. Sorry.
Yeah, people can't see what you're doing.
But they can hear the side effects. That Never mind. I don't know.
Yeah. So you finally had your bio exam last night?
Yes, yes, yes.
Man, how did that
And thank you to the listeners that sent me well-wishing emails about that.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nice.
So I was stressing out about it all day, like literally I don't know, I was just freaking out. But I finally ended up cramming enough information into my little head last minute, and I ended up getting a B+ on it.
Oh, wow.
So
how do you find out the grade right away? I mean, I'd imagine it would take
him a while to grade them.
Thank you. Maybe I should go home.
No, don't, please. I feel the same way this morning. It's okay.
Yeah.
Well, no, the last time I was the only one in the class that got the grade immediately because I freaked out and I told the teacher, I was like, I have test taking anxiety. You don't understand. I need to know my grade. So he sent me an email like as soon as he had graded the papers that night. Mm-hmm. So at midnight, I got my email being like, calm down. You can go to sleep. You know, you got an A.
Wow.
But this time I freaked out so badly. I made him correct the test in class.
Really?
So he went over the whole test in class with all the students and just collected the scantrons, and we went through it ourselves.
Wow.
So, yeah. Very instant gratification-oriented Susie.
Yeah. B+. Yes, not bad at all.
Not bad, considering I was partying my ass off in Joshua Tree all weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, drunk and whatever else.
Yeah. Well, we have a little smart cookie here in the studio.
I don't know how I pulled that one out.
Really?
Yes. But yeah.
Do you generally do well in school? I mean, you seem like you do now.
Well, there was a time period when I was at UC Boulder where I have, and this is what I'm actually dealing with now as I'm trying to get my application to UCLA ready. I've got four schools total that I've now been in that I've got to get all my transcripts ready to transfer. And one of them I had 2 years of straight A's at every class I had ever taken. Actually, I lie. I got one A-.
Nice.
And then at UC Boulder, I have one semester of straight Fs.
Well, that's not because you didn't know the material, obviously.
It's because I didn't go to class. Yeah. No, I didn't. I'm looking through it. I'm like, I don't think I ever went to that class.
Wow.
I signed up and I paid for school, and then I just moved to the mountains and just completely fucked off.
Wow, that's going to bring down your GPA big time.
Yes and no. But the nice thing about that is, I don't know, when you're a transfer student, the colleges really like transfer students because, especially when they're older, you know, because you're not as crazy and wild as like a young 18, 19-year-old kid that's like right out of high school.
Right.
So transfer students are usually much more serious and ready to put their nose to the grindstone and like get their shit done.
Mm-hmm.
So colleges really like that. And they also like that I've had like, or that, you know, me in particular or anyone else has had work experience or they've been out in the real world and they see how hard it is to make it like without a degree per se.
Right. But it still affects your GPA.
That's what I'm saying. It does affect my GPA.
If you look just on the numbers, it really brings it down.
Yes, it does.
That's unfortunate, you know. And but you know
but
what?
They like that the fact that I have like a human element. I hope as I explained,
yeah, I fucked up all semester.
It was 8 years ago. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, shit happens.
Yeah.
So hopefully they'll be able to see past that and see my sparkling personality and said, I don't know.
Do you realize you're chewing gum on the air?
I do, and I've been trying to find a place to put it, and I don't know where to put it.
Okay, here. Don't you have a trash can on that side?
Oh, I do.
Yes, you do. I'm like sitting here, and I thought, okay, she's chewing it in with style,
nom.
We can't really tell. And then I'm like hearing all this.
Forgive me, Sam. I apologize.
Yeah, we got to be careful on the air. But so you did well. Well, wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
So now you can relax a little
bit. No. No way, because now I've got a stats exam on Monday, and just when I thought I was like going to be okay and I was finally starting to understand the material, the freaking commie asshole, I swear he's a communist, you know, he throws like a total curveball and starts like talking a different language yesterday pretty much, and everyone in the class is sitting there staring at him like, what are you talking about, dude? So as soon as I get out of work at 7:30 tonight, I have to go directly to meet with my my statistics tutor. And then I'll only have Thursday afternoon to study for this exam because I'll be in New York all weekend.
Yes, and you don't intend on studying while you're away?
Absolutely not.
Yeah. But maybe on the plane on the way back or something you could, you know?
I always intend for that to happen, but it usually ends up being just a bit of a backache because I schlepped my books all the way to wherever I was going, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm too tired or too brain dead to even, like, you know, function. So ideally, yes, but in reality, probably not.
Okay.
So we were talking before, you don't think my plan is so good about how I'm going to get to the airport?
Go ahead and tell us. You really want to.
So, I'm going to tell the listeners right now. Sam is a little bit, he's worried that I'm hitchhiking from JFK to New York City, down into Manhattan.
So you made a decision already?
Pretty much.
Oh, okay.
I'm very broke right now, and I've decided I can hit up my family for money once I get to New York for money to get home.
Right.
But getting actually there is a little bit difficult. And because they don't know I'm coming, I can't really hit them up in the first place.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to hitchhike.
Okay, well, so we better start collecting donations because I don't want to see you hitchhiking from JFK to downtown New York. It's just not a good thing to do.
Oh, it'll be a grand thing to do. Either I will make a wonderful friend on the plane and, like, I don't know, share a cab or something, or I don't know. Uh-huh. Who knows? Maybe I'll even go in style. I think I'm going to be very selective and choose someone.
Yes.
I'm going to choose someone and make them drive me.
Yeah, there you go, you see?
This will be a good experiment.
Yeah, but I'm wondering if you shouldn't do it with, like, two chicks or something, you know, so there's not a threat or anything, you know, and then you can just tell them, you know, because if you do it with a guy, he's going to assume right away, yeah, I can screw her.
Really?
You know, yes.
No.
Oh, yeah. What do you mean, really, Susie?
No.
If I, you don't understand this from a guy's perspective at all. I mean, you know, a chick does not get in a car with you normally. Okay. So if she does, you're gonna think, well, maybe I'll get lucky with her, and you're just not even considering it. You don't even think it's possible.
Well, I mean, it is a possibility, but you know, I'll have to choose someone that won't have that idea.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I would do.
Or maybe I'll tell them straight up.
Yeah,
I'm going to see my boyfriend, and yada yada yada.
Yeah, like that's gonna help if it's a fucking molester or something. But listen,
if not, he'll lose his eyes. Yeah. I'll poke them out.
Yeah, but do you want to go through that?
I don't know. It could be eventful.
Yeah.
It's good for radio, Sam. Yeah. What can I say?
Nothing fucking scares you, does it?
No. Actually, did I ever tell you about the time when I was in Colorado and I just wanted to go on a motorcycle ride, but I didn't know anyone that had a motorcycle.
Right.
So I left my dorm and I went down and I sat at an intersection, and there was no helmet law in Colorado at the time. I don't know if there is anymore. But I just sat at that intersection and I waited for about an hour until this guy with like long flowing blonde hair pulls up in a motorcycle at the red light. And so I walk up to him and I was like, excuse me. I was like, are you out for a ride or are you going somewhere? He's like, no, I'm just cruising for the day. I was like, do you want some company? And he was just like, yes, I would love some company. Uh-huh. And so I just hopped on the bike and off we went for a couple of hours riding around.
Right.
But he actually did have that idea in his head that I wanted
course.
To sleep with him.
Susie.
He totally freaked me out because he had this like ripped wife beater on. He had these tattoos that were going down his back from the top of his shoulder blades all the way down to his back. And they were both like Indian feathers. Like, boop, 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 Indian, not dot Indian.
Yeah.
but so we stopped to get gas after our ride. And we were just a couple blocks from my dorm. And I see him go into the gas station. Mm-hmm. And while I'm out there waiting, I see him through the window by Bianca. And he's going, spraying it in his mouth. And I was like, no. And so I got off the bike and I just ran
really?
All the way back to my dorm.
Wow.
He totally thought he was going to get some. I just wanted to go for a ride in a motorcycle.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying, look, just stand around there until you see a woman picking up another woman. And then just walk up to them and say, are you guys going into town by any chance? Because I don't have a ride. There's no way they're going to say no. You know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. And then you don't have to deal with this expectations from a guy and everything, you know? I mean, yeah.
Who knows?
Maybe I can meet
my next boyfriend this
way.
Yeah,
there you go. You see that? You have a hidden motive there. That's the thing. Maybe you do want to meet someone.
Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I meet people in the most random way.
I know. Well, I figure you made up your mind to do it, so go ahead. Unless we can collect some donations for our poor girl here and at least arrange a cab ride for her, or at least you're not going to take a bus, are you?
I've never taken a bus. This one time, I had massive like car issues. My car was down in Torrance, and I had to get up to Malibu. And I really, that job was really, it really annoyed me. I mean, you had to be on time every day.
Oh God.
No, but like within a minute. I mean, like if you're stuck in traffic, if there's an accident, you know, and you're like, you call and you're like, okay, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Can you ask the other bartender to cover for me for 5 minutes? No, like that's not an option. They write you up, and then if you get 3 write-ups, you get fired. And so I really didn't want to be late. And so I was planning on actually riding my bike, excuse me, to the bus stop, and then taking the bus up the PCH. I woke up in the middle of the night with like sweats,
really?
Freaking out about the bus, missing the bus. And once I got on the bus, how do I know? Like, you know, is the bus going to stop? What if it keeps going? Oh my God!
Yeah.
So I literally like woke up freaking out about taking this stupid bus.
Really? But you should be accustomed to it. You came from New York. I mean, there's buses,
cabs,
all over.
And subways.
Yeah.
Buses are just weird.
Yeah. That's true. Only the weirdos ride them.
I know.
Especially here.
Who rides a bus? I just don't understand. Like, ride a bike or, I don't know, do something else.
Usually, yeah.
Have you ever ridden a bus?
No, not here.
Huh.
Well, only once. I had this incident where I was with, I don't remember if it was my first wife or a girlfriend or something, but I got so irritated that I jumped out of the car. I was a passenger. We were stopped at a stop sign or something, or at an intersection, and I think we had like a fight, and I got really pissed, so I just walked out of the car.
Oh, no.
And so then I had to get back home, so I had to take a bus.
Oh, serves you right.
Yeah, because I didn't want to call anybody and tell them, look, we had a fight, and I just fucking left the car.
Oh,
you know?
My God.
I had to ride then, and yeah, it felt really, really weird.
And it's confusing, too. I mean, they've got all these different buses and different color buses.
Yeah. I know, and what the hell do we know about buses in L.A., you know?
Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah. But you know what? If I get there and I don't meet any wonderful people, maybe I will. I'll be adventurous and I'll take the bus. The bus could be a really cool way to meet people. I could meet like 50 people on a bus.
Exactly. But what kind of people? But that's the point. It's people from the airport. It's not your regular people that ride buses, you know? So it's mostly tourists or people that are coming back home.
Hmm.
Yeah, so I wouldn't worry about it.
I don't even know where I'm staying in New York either.
Yeah. I remember when we went to New York City 2 years ago,
maybe I'll meet someone that I could stay with.
Yeah. Well, we landed on Christmas morning, and what happened was JFK was totally fogged out, so we had to fly into Newark.
Oh.
And they wouldn't let us get off the plane or anything, you know, because our destination was JFK. So they were just going to wait there at the fucking airport at the gate. And we're sitting there 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours.
Oh,
and they have no fucking idea when that fog is going to clear. So I finally walked up to them. I said, you're not going to keep us in this fucking plane.
For all of Christmas?
Yes. I said, I want to get off the plane because you're not committing to anything. I don't want to sit here. So they're like, people can't get off the plane for whatever, security reasons, insurance reasons, whatever. And I guess they're responsible for you while you're on the plane. But I told them, I said, you know, I'll take it upon myself. They're like, you can't have your luggage. I said, I don't give a shit. Let me just leave. And so we get off the plane. They finally let us.
Just you and your wife or everyone?
Well, yeah. And then they let a few other people out also because people saw us leaving. So we did. We went to the front of the airport. I had a cigarette or something. And then
that's all you wanted to do, was have
exactly.
a cigarette.
Exactly. I was dying for one. So we walk back in about half an hour, and we see that they're actually unloading the luggage. So we said, wow, this is great. You know, so we waited for the luggage. We took it. And we took a bus into New York City. We were the only passengers in the bus. It was 6 o'clock in the morning on Christmas Day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, it was a loss for the bus company.
Oh.
But we enjoyed it. I mean, we sat in the front, and it was fun, you know.
Who wants to sit in the front of the bus? The back is where all the action is.
Not when there's no people.
Yeah, I guess so.
So, it's fun, you know. You come in Christmas morning, and it was raining, and it was perfect New York weather. You know.
Perfect New York weather. It sounds miserable.
Well, that's why people here go to New York, at least me, okay? I mean, big part of it is the rain, and if it snows, you're really lucky and stuff. But, yeah, it was nice. I mean, I love the rain.
I know, me too. I don't want it to rain this weekend, though, in particular with this bike event that we've got going on.
Yeah.
So that'll make the bike jousting even more dangerous.
Oh. So whose bike are you going to use?
I have not decided or figured that out yet either. Don't have a way to get there. Don't have a way to do anything. Don't have a place to stay. Don't have a bike. But it'll all work out. I'm not worried about these things. Things have a way of just falling into place in my life.
That's true, because you just pretty much fit in everywhere.
I just, you know, I used to worry and stress out about these things like way too much. Mm-hmm. And then I've got too many other things that I have to worry about than to worry about the little details.
Yeah, get to the city from the airport.
Shut up.
Oh, man.
Ay, ay, ay. I just want to tell you a funny airport story. Remember when they first started the no gels and liquids and things on a plane?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
I was in Florida at the time, I'd gone to my friend's makeup company, and he had given me all of his wonderful makeup. It was really expensive stuff.
Yeah.
But it was a lot of gels and lip glosses and things like that. And so my girlfriend and I, actually, she's one of the girls I wanted to bring in today, but she had work this morning.
Yeah.
So you'll get your hot girl sooner or later.
Yeah. No, there was a cancellation, and the guest actually called me, which was nice, at 10
that
o'clock
is nice.
Last night. Yeah. And said she wouldn't be here, so we got a little free spot here. So did you manage to bring anyone? I mean,
I did. Yeah. Someone is en route.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's good. You see, I mean, you, on the drop of a dime, you can... You can get your people.
Some of them. Yeah. Most of them, it was too last minute. But
I really want to talk to Lisa. Why don't we call Lisa?
She's in bed and her phone's off. Because I tried calling her from my bed.
Yeah.
And I could hear her phone ring upstairs if it was on, and it went straight to voicemail.
Yeah.
So she's in bed.
I want to prank her one time. But she probably has caller ID, right? But she still wouldn't know.
She wouldn't know your number.
No, but the station. We're going to call from the station.
Yeah, she wouldn't know that.
She wouldn't know that, right?
No, definitely not.
Yeah. We could prank the shit out of her.
I know,
I'm going to plan on something.
But I don't know if she's one of those people that doesn't answer a call that, or a number that she doesn't know.
She doesn't know, yeah.
That's the only thing. Because people these days, I mean...
That's true. It is kind of hard to prank people these days.
It really is.
Because they get caller IDs and shit.
I only have one friend that always picks up the phone. Always, always, always.
Really?
Yeah, my friend Michael in Massachusetts.
Okay, so we need to prank him. Except he listens to the show, so he would know.
Yeah, but he won't know your phone number, and he usually listens to it later on.
Yeah.
So we've got to think of something to get him with.
Yeah. Well, he listens later on. Now he'll hear what we just said.
But I don't know.
Yeah.
And he'll know your voice and obviously my voice.
Well, I'm not going to talk. It's not going to be us talking.
Who's it going to be?
Maybe Jack Nicholson or Arnold Schwarzenegger or...
Yeah, I think he knows both of those people.
Does he?
Uh-huh.
Good, that's better.
Actually, I know he knows Jack Nicholson. I've got a picture of the two of them together.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so he'll fall for it just fine. He's not going to say, oh, Jack Nicholson would never call me.
True. You know what? You're absolutely right. We're going to have to think of a good one. That'll be funny. But yeah, I wanted to get back to my little airplane thing.
Okay.
So we go through the airport, and I had a hermit crab in my bag that I'd found on the beach that I was trying to smuggle back from Florida to New York. And they don't like you bringing live creatures on the plane unless like you pay like $80. And I'm not paying $80 for my hermit crab to ride back in my purse. So, I bring my bag, and it goes through the scanner, or what do you call it, the X-ray machine?
Uh-huh.
And they see something like something moving, walking in my bag. And they're like, oh my gosh, we've got like a code red over here. They're freaking out about it. And I'm just like, shit. I'm like, Herman, why couldn't you sit still? Like, you're a hermit crab. Go in your shell, for God's sake. But so they finally like find the hermit crab, and then they were laughing, and they're like, okay, you can keep your hermit crab. And I was like, thank you.
Really?
And they actually let my gels and my lip glosses and everything go through the first time. Then once we got to the actual gate, there was this huge, huge black man. And he was standing there, and I've never had this happen in an airport. All of a sudden, before you got on the plane, this was literally the first day of the no gels and liquids and all that other crap.
Wow.
As soon as we got to the gate, he was going through everyone's bags, like, personally.
Yeah, wow.
Before you got on the freaking plane.
Yeah, they were doing that for a while.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is.
I mean, you go through security. I mean, it's enough of a violation. But to just have, like, some other random person just, like, rifling through your shit, I mean, come on.
They just freaked out, And besides, that's the Bush administration. What do you expect?
I know.
Fuck. I can't believe people still will vote for Republicans. But I don't know. According to our own TJ yesterday, he announced the death of the McCain campaign.
Really?
Yeah. So, and he's a staunch Republican. So, I don't know. Maybe that means the race is over.
Now, why did he say that?
Well, they're saying, I guess McCain is falling behind in the polls anyway. And Obama, Colin Powell yesterday put his support. Now, he's a Republican, and he put his support behind Obama.
Whoa.
Yeah, which is a big deal, I think. But it makes you wonder if it's about race or not. It really does.
No.
Because you don't see that happen very often.
With someone crossing party lines like that.
Yes. So I don't know. But it is something to think about. But seriously, I think this whole election is about black people really coming into power, feeling that they're, equal now and that sort of thing. And that's why I think I don't like the direction of the elections at all, because it's all for the wrong reasons, I'm not saying Obama is not qualified. I just think that it's more than that. Hmm. I think black people will obviously give him their support automatically regardless.
I don't think so. I was listening to something at NPR the other day, and a lot of people, that were black were calling in and saying they were voting for McCain just for, religious purposes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, it goes both ways. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but...
Yeah, I don't know. But I really don't want another 4 years of Republicans. I really don't. I mean, they've really fucked up our country in the past 8 years.
I don't know who
I'm
voting for.
I know. I'm not sure either, but...
You're not sure either?
No, I mean, yeah, because sometimes, when I think of Obama and stuff, I'm reminded of that speech that his pastor made, and... Do you remember that one? That,
yeah, the woman,
Reverend,
the man.
Reverend Wright, yeah, yeah, that guy. And yeah, like, you know, spewing hatred and shit, and then Obama distanced himself from him. And yeah, so I don't know, things worry me.
I don't know. Every time I've been to church in my life, you know, I sit there and I really... I go to church actually because I can tune out everything that's going on around me, in particularly the priest and what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I go off in my own little world and I think about what I have to do that day. So, I mean, I can tell you, like, from personal experience, I have like 18 years of going to church and not knowing what was said by anyone.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Maybe Obama just went because his parents made him or something. Who knows?
I don't think so. Okay. I mean, he was hanging out with this guy.
You're saying other people are deeper than I am. They have other motives than actually going to church.
I suppose. But you know what? We do have an author coming up. Not today. But who wrote a book, something to the effect of The Religion of Obama. And I think that'd be really interesting to know where Obama stands on religion and stuff before we vote for him. Hmm. So that's going to be cool. Anyway, we have a phone call. And our guest
is here, too.
Oh, cool. Okay, so...
do you want to take the call?
Yeah, let's take the call first. Good morning. This is Sam and Susie on the air. Who's calling?
Yeah, good morning. Hello?
Hi.
Yes. Who's calling?
Hi, this is Tom Smith.
Tom Smith.
I'm the stage hypnotist.
Yes, sir. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing today?
We're great. Where are you calling us from?
Right around from the Pittsburgh area. Pittsburgh, PA.
Oh,
nice.
Pittsburgh, PA. Cool. We've had a lot of people calling from Pennsylvania, it seems.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of authors. Are you an author by any chance?
No,
indeed I am. In fact, I've written a book called All About Hypnosis.
Oh, very interesting. Okay, so tell us a little bit about that, about the book.
Sure. Well, this is a book which basically people have a lot of questions and myths in regards to hypnosis because, in general, Sam and Susie, a lot of people don't really know that much about hypnosis except for maybe what they've seen in movies or TVs or something of that effect.
Right.
And,
you don't wave a watch in front of someone's face?
Right, huh? They think that you have like a little swinging watch or a little pendulum, look into my eyes, you know, that type of thing.
Right.
So what I did was I put out this book that I wanted to dispel those myths and put people at ease and give them the truth that they need so that they could be more educated in regards to it, because this is something that's been around for, you know, hundreds of years, and it's very well respected. In fact, the American Medical Association declared it a legitimate practice as well back in the late 1950s.
So, wow.
You know, this is something that goes on every day. In fact, psychiatrists and psychologists use it in their practices as well.
Right, yes, so. And I've witnessed that, actually. So you're obviously not the entertainment type of hypnotist. You applied for therapy and things like that?
Actually, you know what, Sam? It's actually the opposite. I really am an entertainer.
Oh, wonderful. Good. So that's probably why I had you call in, because I think we've had enough of the therapists that do hypnosis, you know. So this is something a little different, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. I've been entertained now for over 25 years,
uh-huh.
And hypnosis is really hot right now, guys. I mean, hypnosis is probably one of the most... hip and fun shows that you could actually go to, because what makes it different from so many other things is simply for a fact that the audience members actually become the stars of the show.
Right.
And it's just so much fun to see them come up on stage and the wackiest and wildest things that you could possibly ever imagine.
Right.
Now, how do the other audience members know that they really are hypnotized, or that they're not just like doing it, you know, just for part of the show?
You can tell. When you're watching someone up there on the stage, from the moment they come up there, Susie, and they sit on the stage, you can tell from their demeanor from the word go if they're there to play or if they're there to really, you know, to learn more about hypnosis. If, you know, if they come up on the stage and they have this one of these type of attitudes like, yeah, let's see if I can pull one over on the hypnotist, and they start laughing and they're not taking anything seriously. As I start talking to them on the stage, if I notice that they have a hard time containing their laughter and they're still looking out into the audience and trying to make eye contact with, like, their friends or family members,
right.
A hypnotist knows that, and the audience knows it, too, because it's just a dead giveaway.
Right.
So that's the most apparent thing. And, you know, even something as simple as giving a very simple suggestion to them, and I'm watching their expressions each and every time that I give expressions, if I get even just the slightest little bit of hint that, hey, this guy's like pulling my leg, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're gone. They're just excused from the stage because we don't need entertainers like that. We need people who are serious about learning more about hypnosis and that they are right, in fact, in part of the show, because I never want someone to come out and say, oh, I fooled the hypnotist and the audience, and I wasn't hypnotized at all.
So you can tell.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah, okay. Well, so you can tell when that happens. Now, obviously, I think we all know that some people are more suggestible than others, right?
Right. Right. There, when you say more suggestible, if I understand what you're asking, there's some people
open,
out there
open
who are more
being
willing
hypnotized.
To be hypnotized.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And that's one of the first things that we ask them, you know, nod your head if you're ready to be hypnotized.
Right.
And if I see, again, you know, Sam and Susie, if I see anyone up on the stage who's not nodding their head or it's not in agreement, then I know that they're not going to make it.
Right.
And they're just, they'll be excused within seconds up there on the stage.
They're voted off the boat.
Suggestibility, yeah.
Very cool.
So obviously, I mean, learning this goes with a responsibility because I would imagine... I guess you can't do it in front of audiences and stuff, but what if you hypnotize someone and you just had them, walk into a bank and rob a bank for you?
Mm.
Yeah. Did you guys, you know, it wasn't that long ago, I think it was down south, that they had a teller, like one of those cashiers, who said something to the effect that someone had came in and hypnotized her and then robbed the store. This is a true story. He came into the store and just spent like a few minutes with her, hypnotized her to take out all the money out of the drawer and then give it to him so that he could walk off and do that.
Really?
Whoa.
But how can that happen if she did not actually sit there and agree to be hypnotized?
You're exactly right. Excellent point, and thank you so much for bringing that up. That tells me right there one or two things are happening. Number one, she's lying.
Right.
Or number two, that he's been in there several times before and he's worked with her too. Somehow or another, he's had small talk with her for, let's say, a few days, maybe 4 days, something of that nature. And I'll even give him the benefit of doubt. He's only been there 3 or 4 times. During those 3 or 4 times, it is possible that he could have implanted a suggestion in her mind that would make her more acceptable to do it. However, though, I mean, when we're going right with the moral fiber, would this be something that she would normally do if she wasn't hypnotized? If the answer is no... then the answer is no. She's simply just not going to hand the cash over to him.
Right.
I mean, he can make it more acceptable for her to do it, and she might be a little bit more prone to lean to it, but it would take a really long, long time to do that. I mean, you guys, for example, have you ever seen anything that you saw that you didn't really care about on TV, and you said, I never would watch that, this or that, and it goes on for a long period of time, and you still never sit down to watch a program. One day, there's really nothing else on, and it's like, okay, I'll go ahead and sit down and watch it.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. That's the same thing that would happen in that kind of case as well. I mean, in other words, if he had prolonged visits with her, then yes, that would switch a little bit over there. But it would have to be a long, long time, and she never indicated that. So to me, that's just someone who was scared.
Was in cahoots with someone else.
And decided to lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
To try to get themselves excused from it.
Yeah,
but no, they would never come to my show or any hypnotist show, and we would never implant suggestions in there for them to go out and do something that's morally against wrong. For example, some people might think that they're going to get up on stage and get naked.
Yeah.
That's not going to happen.
No.
Oh, darn, I'm not coming on your show then.
Unless they really want to.
That's not going to happen. Well, you know why, guys? Because, you know, hypnotists, they've had a bad rap anyway as well. You know, people will think to themselves, well, you know, if I go out and watch a show, I'd like to volunteer, but I don't want to be in that compromising position. I don't want to go up there and talk about affairs that I had or,
right.
You know, that I like someone that, you know, outside my marriage. They're afraid that's going to happen, and hypnotists really don't care about that stuff at all.
Yeah.
As a professional hypnotist, what I care about is having fun with people up on stage and not making fun of them, but having fun with them. So.
Right.
You know, there'll be guys up on stage that might think that they're Elvis, or that they might think that they're, some famous movie star. Names like escape me right now. But with the women, they could be like Paris Hilton or something like that. But we would never put them in a compromising position that would scar them for life. Never. Just for a few seconds, have some fun with them. That's about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Can you hypnotize us over the air?
Yeah, right. It's
the problem
be...
with hypnotizing you over the air, yeah. simply for a fact, is that we have listeners that would be listening in.
Yes.
And they might need more help than that.
I think they die of boredom. That's what it is.
No, you know what I just imagined? Yeah. I just imagined like all of our listeners out there being hypnotized.
All at the same
and
time.
And so everyone's just like in this trance, and they're just like, doo, 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 doo. People all over the world.
We would make like worldwide news, you know, the Sam and Susie show.
There you
right?
go.
Yeah, had a hypnotist on and hypnotized
half
hundreds
the world.
Of thousands
yes.
of people to go out and do things that they weren't supposed to do.
There you go.
To save you guys a little bit of lawsuit and just a little bit of green in the bank, no.
Yeah. Okay.
No, we won't be doing anything like that.
I'll have to wait until I go back to Pennsylvania to see you.
Exactly. Come to Pennsylvania. Do it, Susie, while you're on your way to New York. Come up my way, right? Mm-hmm. Come to one of our shows and have a good time.
Maybe over Christmas, because I'm actually, I think I might fly to D.C. and then drive up from there with my sister. So maybe we could swing by and
Yeah, so go ahead.
Do, that.
I mean, do you do shows only locally, or do you travel around the country?
I do it within about, I'd say about 4 to 5 state perimeter.
I see.
I go into Ohio, I go into New York, and some other states too as well, because, you know, they're just so close to me as well. So it's not unusual for us to travel if we're driving, you know, 12, 15, 20 hours by car just to get to our next gig.
Oh, wow.
Or sometimes fly, but we don't go, like, out west where I'd love to go out there where you guys are at too, because it's a beautiful country out there. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. So. I wanted to ask you, I've always wondered, have there been cases where hypnotists like yourself have been convicted of using their abilities, or not abilities, but skills, let's say, in an illegal way, illegal manner?
Yeah, excellent question. Thanks, Tim. No, there's never been a hypnotist that's ever been convicted of anything like that.
Oh, wow.
Even with that case down there, which they think is just absolutely ludicrous, no hypnotist out there, to my knowledge, has ever been convicted of a crime by using their skills and going out and doing that. And, you know, it goes back to what we were just talking about earlier in the conversation, too, guys. I mean, hypnotists, I mean, this is their bread and butter, and this is what they want to do for the rest of their lives. I certainly don't want to work at a convenience store, not to take anything away from people working in convenience stores or fast food places, but this is my heart and passion. If someone took this away from me, I mean, what the hell would I do?
Yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, this is it for me. So what they're, you know, what they do is that when they have their practices and stuff like that, it's just like walking into a doctor's office. You have a receptionist there, and you have a very professional setting, and they do everything they possibly can to cater to the client's needs and help. Because once you help one client, then one client obviously will refer maybe one or two more clients.
Right.
And your business and your practice goes, and it just goes on and on and on, where a hypnotist can respectfully retire from the industry like so many thousands have, doing something that is very beneficial to people, and that's to help stop smoking or to lose weight or to
is
help
there a
with
401k
a memory
plan for the hypnotist retiree?
Well, I tell you, this is fascinating. Why don't you obviously probably have a website. Do you want to give that out?
Yeah, sure. You're more than welcome to visit me. You can find me at tomsmithhypnotist.com. TomSmithHypnotist.com.
Okay.
And certainly there's a whole bunch of information in regards to shows that we do around in the area and certainly what's going on in my life. And, you know, if you have any questions in regards to problems that you might have that you would like to seek possibly some quick solutions for it, right, certainly drop me an email, you know, and we can certainly go from there, you know, and
I'll
respond and do everything I can to possibly help you guys out.
Sounds
awesome.
Good. Sounds good. Well, Tom Smith, thank you so much for calling and entertaining us. This is I've always been fascinated with hypnotherapy.
Me too.
With hypnosis, I'm sorry. And so we've spoken to some people that do therapy with it, and I thought it was time to talk to someone who actually has fun. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, well, so, I hope that you know, you got a lot of more answers than you had before. You know, it's a lot of fun. Really, I really recommend it for people who are having problems getting over, you know, from overeating or from smoking or maybe sleep loss. There are safer and alternative ways of doing it. Hypnosis is 100% safe and 100% there to help the individual to overcome any type of addiction or compulsion that they may have. It's really the best and safest answer out there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, this is awesome. So, Tom, thank you so much, and enjoy the weather up there, I suppose. Is it nice up there now?
It's freezing. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's right around about 60 degrees over here.
Yeah.
It's real gloomy around the Pittsburgh area. How's everything out there where you guys are at?
Oh,
it's
bright
it's
and really sunny.
Yeah, it's the same every day here. We have no season.
We hate it. It's miserable.
Yeah, we could use some cold
rain. You guys said, Tom, it's like, you know, just horrible. Yeah, that would be perfect. You know? But, yeah, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be on your show, and you guys are great.
Thank you.
And I look forward to talking to you guys again real soon.
Wonderful. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Tom Smith.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
All right. So that's Tom Smith. And now you told me our guest is in the studio?
Yes, he's in the studio.
Oh, and he probably doesn't know what's going on because I don't think I turned on the radio in the front. So.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so we're going to take a very short break, and we'll be back right after this.
New from the star of Up and Comers 10 and 11 and Where the Boys Aren't 14, 16, and 17 comes a film from the hottest adult star in the world. Jenna Jameson stars in Pregnant Panties 1.
Oh, I feel so fat. My regular panties don't fit anymore.
Just when you thought you'd seen her take it all, now she takes it all in bigger underwear.
Oh, hi.
Did someone order a sausage pizza?
I guess I did. Let me see if I have any money in my panties.
Whoa, what are you, pregnant? Ooh. Those are some huge panties. Oh, so hot.
Jenna Jameson is back, and now sexier than ever in Pregnant Panties 1. And coming soon, look for her new adult film, Jenna Loves Stretchy Jeans.
Ooh.
Hello, this is Borat Zakiev, and when I am traveling around the world and have internet connections, I like to gently cup up my balls and listen to LA Talk Radio. It's very nice!
Alright, and we're back. And Susie, you brought us a guest.
Yes, yes. A very last minute surprise.
At a very last minute, good morning to you.
Good morning.
How are you doing? Good, good. You're all in a good mood and everything. Yeah, try not to bang too many things. But so what is your name? Go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Eric,
uh-huh.
And I'm an old friend of Susie's.
Oh, this is Eric. Are you the website guy that I've been talking to? Is that Eric?
Yes, this is Eric.
That's that Eric. Okay. So you guys used to bang before, right? I mean, get to the point. You know?
Okay, yeah.
He's one of the ex-boyfriends.
Yes.
So what do you think of your replacement now? What do you think of Franz?
Oh.
I actually think Franz is a really special person.
Yeah, he is special.
Very special, yes. Oh, my goodness.
So how long have you and Susie known each other?
A year and a half.
Feels so much longer than that, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah.
Oh my
the
goodness.
Stuff we've been through. Yeah. How long were you guys dating?
I think
months?
I proposed after like 6 days.
Oh, really? Oh, that was the one. Okay,
yes.
Wow. Yeah, he's definitely worth proposing to after 6 days. I mean, he seems like a nice guy and everything. Now, what happened to your arm? You got a cast on your arm.
I was on a bike ride a few weeks ago.
Oh, another bike rider.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I had borrowed a friend's bike, actually one of the kids I babysit for.
Yeah.
And I went right over the top.
Yeah.
So, going downhill.
Really? You babysit?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, so people actually will get guys to babysit for their kids.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would think you'd be afraid, you know, with what's going on today. Not to say that you would.
He's the gentlest creature in the world. Like, as soon as women meet him, they're just like, okay, I've known you 5 minutes. Here, take my baby.
Oh, really?
I mean, if you look at my cast right now, it's all covered up. I guess it was Sunday night. I was up at in Topanga visiting my old little kids. Uh-huh. And my babies. And the little 3-year-old Allie, he drew down here. And Jopa, my 5.5-year-old, she drew this house with grass and everything.
It looks like it's on fire.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what the cutest thing on here is?
What?
Is that she can now spell and write. So
aww.
She actually wrote Love Hope. I was like, oh.
That is so precious.
At least then their older brother came in and had to, of course, draw a heart with a devil.
Just
tail
wait till I get my pen. You're gonna have a big cock on there.
Oh, Jesus.
I will defile it in no time.
Yeah. So, did you feel she has a one-track mind pretty much when you met her?
No.
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 No. So she didn't come across as that at all.
Well, I kind of met her under auspicious circumstances.
Really?
Oh,
well, let's
God.
Hear, Susie.
Oh, God.
What's going on?
Okay, I was staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Mm-hmm. And
why were you staying there?
Why not?
Because it's expensive.
So?
So?
So, okay.
I was living the good life at the time. I was eating lobster every day.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But yeah, so I was staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel. This was on my layover in California on my way to Australia.
Right.
And my girlfriend, actually our mutual friend who introduced us, before I met Eric, brought this other guy over to the hotel. And he was totally gorgeous, mm-hmm. but the biggest idiot in the world.
Really?
And
we all called him Barbie.
No. I made that up.
I know you did.
Barbie.
No, his name was Kent. And so I couldn't remember Kent for some reason, so I just kept calling him Ken. Uh-huh. And finally, I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to call you Barbie.
Yeah. More like Barbie than Ken. Huh?
Yeah, he was just like this beautiful thing that was just a complete idiot. So anyway, I ended up sleeping with Barbie while I was staying there. And yeah, it was straight.
That's so unlike you.
I know. Go ahead.
I know, but the best part of that whole story is, can I?
Yeah, please.
So I'm going to get this wrong because I barely remember it, but
there was a lot of scotch involved.
Yeah, I think it was the night we met. He ended up staying the night, correct?
No, he couldn't get in.
Well, that's right. That's what I was
going
to say.
Okay, yes.
So I guess they had been sleeping together. And for some reason, he left the room.
He went to go move his car.
But left his pants in there?
He left his pants. Yep, he left his pants. And
so he moved his car without his pants on.
Ended up getting like completely locked out of the hotel room, and I was passed out because I was drunk on champagne, scotch, and then I think I took a Xanax on top of it all. So I was at the Beverly Hills Hotel just like face first in my bed, and this guy, he wanted to come back, and I didn't want him to come back anymore. I had since met Eric, and I was like, okay, I want this guy to go away.
Yeah.
And so he's standing there like banging on the door trying to get in, and I'm in Xanax land, just not answering. I think security finally ended up removing him from the building. Oh, poor Barbie.
Wow. Do you still keep in touch with him?
With Barbie?
Yeah.
No, but I can kill my girlfriend because probably about 3 months ago, I got a phone call from the guy. And, you know, I've changed my number since then. And so she ended up giving the guy my new phone number.
Oh, really?
And he was like, oh, so I hear you're back in L.A. You know, if you ever want to, you know. I'm like, oh, my God, no.
Wow.
So, yeah, that was pretty interesting.
Now, how long ago was that when you guys met?
We met, what was it, Labor Day weekend? So like
May 27th.
There you go.
A year ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And he was living on a 52-foot yacht in Marina Del Rey at the time.
Oh, really?
And she got kicked out of the Beverly Hills Hotel.
I didn't get kicked out. I got bored, and I decided I wanted to leave. So I rented a car.
They wouldn't rent you any more rooms.
No, because I had already checked out. And then Michael's brother was there, and they let me recheck in.
Oh, okay.
But then remember I was going to drive to Colorado.
Right.
So I rented a cute little Miata, and my grand plan was that I was going to drive to Colorado and visit my best friend Janique. So I get my little Miata, and I have this GPS that's called Never Lost. And I can't figure out how to program Never Lost. So I'm driving around LA. I've never been to LA before. I have no freaking idea how to get anywhere. All the streets look the same, you know, like Sepulveda and Lincoln and everything else. And I'm like, this place fucking sucks. I'm like, I just want to get to Colorado. Put me on the open road. And so I'm like, all right, who am I going to call? Okay, let me call Eric. And Eric just starts dying laughing. He's like, why don't I give you directions? You can come to my design studio and, like, you know, I'll help program the GPS. And he's like, and you can come stay on my boat if you ever want to. So I was like, all right. And then, yeah, from there, I ended up just staying in LA and staying on his boat.
Wow. What were you doing on that boat? A yacht, right?
Yeah, it was my friend's yacht. So,
oh, nice.
I'd been living on
boats
for...
You have friends in high places?
Yes.
A few.
Okay.
I'd been living on boats for about 2 years,
nice.
I guess, at that point.
Do you
point.
Like it?
Oh, I love living on
really?
The water.
Really?
Yeah.
This
I got my first boat when I was 10.
Really?
I got two boats for my 10th birthday, in fact.
Yeah, what kind of boats did you get?
They were actually sunfishes.
I was thinking like a little model sailboat.
Yeah, that you play with in the bathtub, yeah.
No, I got my dad gave me, or my stepdad gave me his old boat that he had as a kid, but it didn't have any sails.
Right.
And ironically, another family friend called later that day. Well, actually, it's even funnier than that because I actually had three envelopes laid out on the table.
Right.
And I could choose any birthday present I wanted.
Yeah. Oh, no. You only got to pick one?
I could only pick one. So one, of course, was the boat. Uh-huh. Another one was a bike. Or the other one was a trip to like Detroit to go see like the auto museum down there or something. Yeah. It was like my
okay,
stepdad's fantasy.
Skip that one.
So yeah, I skipped that one, right? And so I'm like, ooh, bike or sailboat? Bike or sailboat? Bike or sailboat? And so then I get that, and maybe a half an hour into the decision-making process, I get this phone call from a family friend who lived right down the street. And they're like, oh, we have, you know, an extra boat, you know, that's got some damage in the hull, but the sails and everything are working fine.
Right.
Well, that's what exactly my dad's boat was missing. So then I turn around after the phone call and be like, I don't need the sailboat. Thank you very much. I'll take the bike. So I ended up, and the funny thing is they also had already purchased the trip
right.
for Detroit.
So you got all three.
So I got all three.
Oh, good for you.
I know.
Good for you. Where are you originally from?
I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio.
Oh, wow. Cool. Mm-hmm.
My parents were divorced when I was very young. So
yeah.
I had been flying and traveling to Manhattan or Washington, D.C.
Really? And how did you wind up here?
Let's see.
He's a hippy-dippy person that belongs in L.A.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
It was between Los Angeles or San Francisco and... San Francisco's milk prices were way too high at the time. So I
and you drink a lot of milk?
I used to drink a lot of milk.
Okay.
Not as much anymore.
Yeah, that's a good reason not to move there, man. But why LA, really?
I'd been living in Santa Fe, and there really wasn't much work in Santa Fe back 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. I had completed all my internships, and you know, a lot of my friends from school had left either for San Francisco or LA. So I knew a few people out here, and it was just looking for adventure.
Wonderful. Okay.
Yeah, and I actually had a job interview, mm-hmm. one set up before I came out here at $120 in my pocket.
Really?
And that's all I had.
Really?
We had a guest on the other day that wrote a book about that.
Yeah. Really?
Only he had $25.
Yeah. She actually needs exactly $120 to get from the airport to New York.
Now, I did bring some presents today.
Uh-oh.
You did?
Yes.
Sam didn't even notice your skirt, by the way.
No, I didn't
he gave me that look. And he gave... Because, no, you know, I had to wear the skirt and the hat just for you, Sam.
Yeah.
Because I know, you know... It.
But you know what? I mean, I can't see it's a skirt from here, but it looked like really funny pants. So I was going to bring that up. And I want Susie to go ahead and describe what you're wearing. So you're wearing actually a dress, right?
It's a sarong.
Oh, okay. Excuse me.
Well,
okay.
It's a skirt.
Okay, so go ahead, Susie. Describe this.
It's like a tablecloth that he wraps around himself, and he's not wearing any underwear underneath it, I'm sure.
Really? I don't own any underwear, so.
I know.
Oh, wow.
I think Sam just got instantly uncomfortable.
Yeah, I am. I mean, you know, I guess that's
it was washed this weekend, so it's clean.
It was washed?
It was washed.
Okay, I thought I was smelling some genitals and stuff, but probably not it.
It's patchouli.
it's like yellowish. With brown patterns on it.
Flowers, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little mountains and stuff. And
now, why would...
And my Brooks Brothers shirt, and I have a green fedora and a vintage 53 Timex watch.
Really?
And,
can we see that watch? Let me see. I can't see it. Oh, okay. Okay. It doesn't look like a big deal to me, but if you say so. A 53, 1953. Really?
Yeah, it's simple vintage watch.
Yeah, it is vintage. Wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
He has more clothes than I do, believe it or not.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yes.
More skirts and stuff?
I may... Oh.
Okay, what's with the skirt?
I probably have 12 skirts.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Now, why do you have skirts?
I love them.
Why?
They're just comfortable.
Really?
They're easy and comfortable.
So you wear them, you
do
go out on the street and do anything?
Anything
a normal person would do? Like,
yeah. Really? I walked around Marblehead Mass with them one.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. What do you think of that, Susie? Susie, what do you think of a guy wearing a skirt?
I love it. It's wonderful.
Yeah?
If he wants to wear a skirt, I, you know, More power to him. Yeah. We can share.
Did exactly. you kiss me that first night because I was wearing a skirt?
I do believe so. No. The first time I kissed you, I was driving on the freeway.
That's a great
story. We had our adopted little brother kind of in the car. And I don't know. I stopped.
Whoa. You got to set this up a little bit better.
Okay, fine. Okay.
So we had gone on out down to Hollywood for her first visit to Hollywood. And we went to Roscoe's and whatnot.
To have fried chicken and waffles. Who eats fried chicken and waffles?
I guess he does.
I do.
Have you ever heard of this place?
No.
It's totally famous.
It's amazing.
They've got headshots of all the movie stars, and everyone just writes letters. They're like, "Oh, dear Roscoe, your fried chicken." They take fried chicken and you like wrap it in a waffle,
and then you pour butter and brown sugar syrup all on top. Oh,
yeah,
it's heavy.
With the chicken.
Oh yeah, with the fried
with
chicken.
With the fried chicken.
With the fried chicken.
Oh yeah.
Sounds amazing.
It really
is. No, it's not. It's a heart attack waiting to happen. You would love it, Sam.
I'm sure I would.
So we were
I don't like sweet and salty at the same time, but maybe, you know, maybe it would be good.
I mean, but then you can put some Tabasco on it, so it's sweet, salty, and spicy.
Look, I mean, if they're famous for this, it must be good. You know, I'll have to try it. Where is it located?
There's a bunch of them actually all around.
Really?
It's right by Hollywood and Vine.
Is
the one I mostly go to. But there's like four or five of them, I think, in the area. And then there are several copycats as well.
Yeah.
And like Popeye's Chicken, I think you can get it. And they have like Eggo
waffles. Oh, really? But I love Popeye's Chicken, man.
Really?
There's no other fried chicken I'll have except that, you know?
I don't know. I'm more partial to Chick-fil-A, personally.
Really?
Yeah. I've never been to either.
Yeah. I don't know what
Chick-fil-A is a southern thing. So.
Yeah, it's not.
And there's one out here, and it's like in the Torrance shopping mall. I mean, it's like the furthest thing. I found out that it was out here, and I had to sprint down there.
Yeah.
And it took me like 3 hours because I got so lost.
I'll eat KFC, and then as soon as I finish eating it, I just cry and I hate myself.
Yeah, I know.
And I want to kill myself.
Because
like,
KFC,
why did I do that?
KFC is disgusting, I'm telling you. But Popeye's is really good. It's
What's
fresh.
The difference?
It's
fried
fresh.
Chicken is fried chicken.
No, not at all. Not at all.
It's all about the batter.
Yeah, the batter and, you know, whether it's juicy or not. And
like
whether the restaurant is clean and all that. Yeah, you like juicy. But,
but
it's,
I mean,
it's a different kind of thing.
When it dribbles down your chin.
I remember a time when KFC had to drop chicken from their actual name because of a suit that came on in. Because
it wasn't chicken?
Yes.
Oh, no. Don't tell me that.
It's so bad.
Oh, that
it's kind of like McDonald's chicken.
And you know, I got some McDonald's chicken the other day and it said something on it. It was like 100% white meat. And then I was like, I've never seen that on the packaging before. And it's like, what the fuck was I eating before?
Yeah.
Yes.
What was in there if it wasn't 100% meat?
Yeah, but it's still processed chicken. What you eat there,
What does processed mean?
Okay,
like
I think they take
something.
They shred it down to nothing and then they rebuild it, you know?
It's all the tendons and stuff, and then they have to re-add the flavor.
Ew.
And,
I mean, because, you look at nuggets and stuff, you know, there's no pieces that are shaped like that, you know?
Oh, God.
Really? Yeah, but it's all about the honey mustard sauce.
But if you like
chicken nuggets, you got to go to Wendy's for chicken nuggets. There's nothing.
Sam, I'm a big supporter of Wendy's. I did about 10 commercials for them when I was a kid.
Really?
Wendy's kids meals are just for kids, and so is what's inside. I was a little Wendy's kids girl for years.
Really?
Yeah, I'll have to get you those commercials. You'll die.
Yeah, that's cute.
All right. We got to go back to the story because it's way too good.
Okay.
So we go downtown. I believe we had a bottle of Jameson in the car with us.
No, single malt scotch. It was Macallan.
No. We finished that at the house. We had the Jameson with us.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't want to take the Macallan out on the road. So we went downtown. We tried to go see a movie. Everything fell on through. So we're driving back home.
Wasted.
Total. All,
on the 405.
All three of us. So Suze is driving. Benj is in the front seat. I'm in the back with all of her pile of shit back there. There was so much crap.
No, in Susie's car?
Yes. She hasn't changed
I resent
bit.
That.
And so we're driving on back. And I guess for whatever reason, I started nibbling your elbow.
Yes.
And that was the cue that started it off.
I like my elbow being suckled.
But the best part was this. As soon as I started doing it, she's freaking out. But there's an accident in the road in front of us on the 10 freeway.
Oh, it was the 10 at the 405.
So traffic stops still. Really? And all of a sudden, we call a fire drill on the 10 freeway. She jumps out of the driver's seat, runs on in the back seat, and poor Benji's like, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do?
Benji was like 19 at the time, you know, like a little kid.
Yeah, and so he jumps in the driver's seat. Never driven this car before. Never driven in L.A. He had been out here just
He's from West
months.
Virginia. He's our Beverly Hillbilly.
Yes. and that's kind of how
I,
it
I
all
pretty
started.
Much mounted him in the backseat of the rental car.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. But we had known each other for, what, a week to that point?
Oh, yeah. Actually, this had driven me absolutely nuts because I had gone and I was staying on the boat with him. And he's like, and you can have your own bedroom at this side of the boat. Mm. And so I've got my own bedroom. And every night I was laying awake in my bedroom all by myself, Sam. And I'm like, am I not cute? Does he think I'm fat? Like, why isn't he coming in here? Why doesn't he want to sleep with me? Oh my God. Like, what's wrong with me?
You had your blankie. You weren't alone.
I was totally, well, I didn't, blankie wasn't warm enough.
Yes.
But I seriously thought that like something was wrong with me because I was like, this man is not attracted to me. I'm like, this is bullshit. And I was trying to do everything within my power to make my feminine wiles work.
Yeah.
And nothing was working and it was driving me insane.
Yeah. And finally, what happened?
Finally, he he nibbled my elbow.
Oh.
Does that sound really weird?
Yeah.
Yeah?
No, it doesn't.
Having your elbow suckled?
I guess. I mean, it doesn't sound weird. It sounds just unusual, you know. But I don't know if it's weird. I mean, I'd imagine you'd suck on everything pretty much.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Eric. So you actually suckled on these boobs right here.
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what was that like? Tell the listeners.
Oh my God, I'm blushing.
What was it like?
Yes. What's it
he
like?
He likes
to
big
suck on
floppy
the
boobs.
I do.
Oh,
like
really?
Big floppy boobs.
So those were not your favorite?
I mean, it's not about the boobs or the body. It's about the person.
Oh, come on with the bullshit.
No.
We're talking physically now. We're talking physically.
Okay, but you have to remember that it's how she interacts with the boob suckling. And that's the person coming on out there.
Okay.
It's her laughing. It's her giggling. It's the teasing around of the
oh
whole
my,
thing.
That tickles.
That's what makes it fun.
It's not
about the actual nipple or the butt or whatever. You know?
All right. Okay, you're right. He's weird.
I'm a freak.
No. But how old are you anyway?
33.
33.
Yeah.
Okay. And what do you do now for a living? I mean, you dabble with websites and stuff, or is that something you just do?
I'm a digital artist, so I'm classically trained fine artist, and I do digital photo manipulation, website design. About 2.5 years ago, I helped co-found a company called Pippa Interactive.
Mm-hmm.
We designed software that allowed for real-time visual chat. System.
Oh, cool.
So
I like real-time visual chat.
Yes, she does.
Yes, you do. We know all about that.
Sorry, go ahead.
So what's classically trained, though?
I mean, I've been, you know, since probably 16, I was asked to go up to a college in Cincinnati and actually take professional studio classes drawing nudes and everything else. So
Yeah.
Yeah, and my mom has a master's in broadcasting, and
his mom is actually one of our biggest listeners.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. Say hi, mom.
Hello, mom.
Hi, LP. Yeah.
You should actually call in and interact with your son a little bit.
No, she's in school right now.
Oh,
so
she
that's
is.
That's a good.
She
thing.
Listens later.
Well, the problem is she got her students to find. Because she's so bad. I mean, on the internet and everything, and so she gets her students. To like find Susie Raleigh and LA Talk Radio and whatnot. So now all of her students know about this show.
This is the last thing I need. I'm serious. I could kill you for telling her about it in the first place.
But why? What do you care?
I don't know. I don't want my boyfriend's mom's listening.
Well,
you understand. My mom always asks her. She's like, "How's Susie? What's she up to?"
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah,
when
blah.
I was driving cross country, I stopped in Cincinnati, and I'd never met his mom, never met his brothers, and I was like. I need a place to stay. I was like, do you think I could just, you know, go stay at your house? And he's like, sure. So I show up and I just get wasted and stoned with the brothers and like drunk with the mom. And like,
oh my God, my mom had to be put to bed that night in the middle of dinner because she was so trashed from being with Suze that food was falling off of her fork.
As she was like putting it in her mouth, her fork would like get up to her mouth and it would be totally empty. And she's like, where'd my chicken go?
All right, can we tell some more stories about that trip?
Yeah. I don't know which ones.
Okay, so Sam,
it's getting hot in here.
So I have a question for you, Sam. After hearing this story, I want to know if Susie and I were really engaged, because it actually happened in three different parts.
Right.
The end being that story at my mom's. So do you want to say number one?
No. You say it.
Number one, the 6-day proposal
happened
because, let's see, we met on a Monday. I think we first hooked up a Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And that following Monday, she had plans to go on out to Vegas for her sister Mimi's graduation party.
From medical school.
From medical school. So it was like her and eight friends, so Chase, our mutual friend, and Suze, they went out there. And Suze, a few days before like Sunday and stuff, she's like, oh, come to Vegas, we'll get married, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I gotta work, I don't know if I can take off, blah, blah, blah,
wait,
blah.
Wait a minute, so you proposed, Susie?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And he said yes. Whoa. And I was like, wait, do you really mean it? Is this a real
yes?
Whoa,
whoa, wait a second, wait a second.
I mean, what did you think when you first met her? I mean, did it occur to you maybe she's a little crazy, or was that just along what you like?
I am nothing at all what he usually likes.
Yeah.
I am so far away from his... He usually dates like these witchy people and hippy-dippy people and big floppy boob people.
Really?
I loved her the moment that that I met her. She's one of the most special people in the entire world.
I hate that word. Special,
special
is like...
Special, yeah, it's a very very vague word.
It is a very vague word, but it always it kind of has like a negative connotation in my mind.
Yeah, I suppose. But I'm sure that's not what he meant.
I know.
So, yeah, I mean, she is different and she is special, and that's why people love her. I agree with you. So what happened? So you agreed to get married?
No. We're still at Vegas right now, and she flies on out. And I'm like, no, I can't make it. You know, no way, Jose. Little did she know that I had been planning with Chase. I had bought a ticket. Mm-hmm. And I flew out and surprised them.
I had my bachelorette party and everything. Like, gone out the night before. I was like, I'm getting married tomorrow. It's going to be so wonderful. Oh, my God. And so then all of a sudden, like, I got a phone call the next morning. And he's like, I can't come. Mm-hmm. I spent the day at the pool just crying, thinking I've been left at the altar. You know, in Vegas, no less. I was like, this is bullshit. You know, my heart's been broken. This is not fair.
I'm laughing uncontrollably. Chase is laughing uncontrollably.
My sister's in on it, too. And all of her friends are in on it. And they're just like, they're consoling me at the pool. They're just like, it's okay. It's okay.
So all of a sudden, I fly in after work. I get there probably about 8.
In time for dessert.
Yeah, I see Chase being pushed around. I get to the Hard Rock Casino. Chase is being pushed around
in a wheelchair.
Because
she had a bad pedicure and she was too lazy to walk in her high heels.
Yeah.
So she's pushed
around. She's
the gorgeous
one that you're going to love.
And they had just finished dinner. And she's walking, Suze is walking out to the bathroom, walking down the hallways. And
I see him marching towards me.
And she's like, she flows up her hand. She goes, you did come to marry me. You did come to marry me. And she's so trash, she falls on the ground laughing, right? And she's got her brand new pink taco underwear on. She's flashing the entire casino. So we go back down to the table.
I don't remember that part.
And we go back down to
the
table.
You don't remember a lot of things.
And she's totally giddy. And she's like, well, we're going to get married tonight. And I'm like, no. This is your sister's night. Yeah. You know, this is her graduation. I got a special present for her. I contacted a friend of mine.
Was it like the Playboy Club or something?
Well, we did end up at the Playboy Club, but up at the top of the Palms Casino, there was an open-air dance club, and there was a private party going on there that my friend had got us all into.
Right.
So we all went dancing that
night. He didn't want to marry me.
No, huh?
Well, listen to this, Sam. You would have loved this. 8 girls had... We got a limo.
8 hot, sexy girls.
Right. We all got a limo from the Hard Rock to the Palms.
And him. He's got
and
8
me.
Girls.
Yeah. I've got,
four
I'm
on
in the back
arm.
Seat.
Who were they?
Huh?
Who were they?
My
her
sister
friends.
And all of her doctor friends. They had all these like gorgeous doctors.
I see.
So next thing I know, we're driving to the Palms. Suze or someone? No, no, no. It was the crazy one, the brunette with
Heather?
The big boobs.
I call her Chicken because every picture she shows a breast or a thigh.
Yeah, she starts grabbing someone's boobs, and next thing I know, tops are flying off. People are hanging outside of windows because there was not enough room for all of us in there.
Right.
So it's me, you know, driving around with a bunch of topless girls in Vegas. It was
awesome.
A good night.
Awesome.
It was a very
Sounds good
night.
Yeah.
I woke up the next morning and he was gone.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, I had to fly.
Oh, you had to fly.
I had to fly.
Okay.
And then I thought I'd been left again at the altar.
Oh. So what was the urgency to get married, Susie?
I don't know.
Was it because it was him or because you just wanted to get married because...
It was definitely him and it definitely just felt right at the moment.
I see. Okay.
I don't know.
And what if you had been married to him? I mean, do you think he'd still be married?
Probably.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. So it's just because he refused... You didn't get married.
No, no, no. This story gets even better. So, I guess second time happened up in Boston. Or no, New York after
we
met
the family
and everything. And then, so then on her trip, she visits my mom, right? Mm-hmm. So, my mom wakes up in a daze the next morning. And
she couldn't keep up with me.
Right. And my grandma had been held at bay that night. She knew that this girl was coming and blah, 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 and she had to meet Suze. So my grandma comes over, I guess, noon or something, like for breakfast or something.
And we actually arranged, we set up the wedding.
Right. So hold up. So, and my aunt shows
up. Set up the wedding?
And she didn't know why my aunt was coming over there. My aunt was coming over there because my mom was the wedding planner for her first daughter's wedding.
Right.
So she was coming on over to talk wedding plans and whatnot. So Suze meets my grandmother and my aunt. And for whatever reason, she blurts out, "Hi, I'm Susie. I'm Eric's fiance." Next thing I know, I'm getting calls and texts at work.
Yeah.
Congratulations, this is so awesome, blah, 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 blah.
It started spiraling out of control. Like,
I mean,
his
totally
entire
out of
huge
control.
Family is now like freaking out. Like,
so my aunt has a calendar. She whips out the calendar and goes, "Do you have a date? Well, let's make a date." So I get on my voicemail later that day that I am to be married September 15th.
I see. Okay. So it's all been arranged for you.
No, excuse me. August 15th.
You should know women will do that to you.
I know.
Everything
so,
for you.
I'd known him for a month, though. And before I burst into his family's life and I tell the family we're getting married, we actually like set and pick a date. And then he gets the message that he's actually really getting married on this day and time and blah, 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 blah.
Oh, man.
Your poor family.
Yeah. So, real quick, I did bring this present that I know you're going to love because you haven't seen it yet.
Okay, but hold on. We're going to take a little break, okay? So, we'll take a short break and we'll be back right after this.
Jump the shark every time. and Susie in the Morning on LA Talk Radio.
Okay, so we have Eric in the studio.
Yes.
Susie's former fiancé.
Who left me at the altar.
So he left me at Burning Man.
Okay, fine.
Always those convoluted relationships. You know?
I'm sorry, I can't help it.
Okay, so if you remember, I was telling you that I had a single job interview.
Yes.
Upon coming out here, and $120 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that job interview was for Leisure Time Entertainment.
Mm-hmm. And they are?
And they are a porn company out here in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And they were looking for a Photoshop person, which is even more interesting of why I got the job. We'll get into that once I hand Susie the present.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you brought us some presents as well.
I did bring you a whole buttload of presents.
Okay. So. Sounds good. Okay, so let's see those presents. But wait a minute, before, go ahead and finish the story. So,
I can tell the story while she's perusing this.
Okay,
she's never seen these before because when I lived on the boat, I had all my possessions in storage.
I see.
So these were not on the boat with me.
So she's never seen those.
She's never seen
them. I'm a little horrified. Okay.
This is a whole collection of the porn boxes that I first did at Leisure Time. I've since worked for a few other companies as an art director. And
porn companies.
I see.
Yes.
So you designed those boxes, those packages for the videos and stuff.
Yeah.
You know that I used to do the same thing.
I do know, yes.
How do you know?
He's stalked you.
No, I used to do very similar things. I also designed packages.
What did your wife think?
I wasn't married at the time. That was some time ago. But and I worked on adult sites as well. So I know. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
After a while, this stuff just doesn't do anything for you, right? I mean,
you sit there
with Photoshop and you know you're cleaning up the boobs and whatever.
Well,
and
I got hired for a very interesting reason. I got hired in 2001, just after the new year, and President Bush had just become president.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a thing that's known in the Valley, all around here, that in California you can do anything you want. You can sell anything you want. You can print anything you want.
Even bestiality?
That may be one of the illegal things. Well, you can print anything you want in the state of California.
Because
this is a mail order company, it involves interstate commerce.
Right.
So therefore, the Justice Department gets in. Mm. And the Justice Department...
Oh my God, that's a lot of cum.
Susie's gone through the ballot.
I know.
That's gotta be.
Susie, did you see the comment I made on your Facebook picture there?
You don't like that picture?
No, I do. But it had like
marshmallows rimming my mouth.
Yeah, and I said it looks. What did I write? I said that looks like
something.
Yeah, I did. I said it looks like, and then. Yeah, disgusting. But because you can't write nasty things on Facebook. But yeah, that's exactly what it looked like. Like you just gave a blowjob. But that was by your own admission.
Yes, that's what it was supposed to. It was supposed to look like that.
Yeah.
And my comment was once some more.
Okay, so
this company I'd worked for had been raided by the FBI.
Wow.
Back during the first administration, and there is a tendency when Republicans come in office. Because they're pandering, of course, to their religious right.
Yes, sir.
Right. Mm-hmm. That they go after porn companies big time.
Yes.
So I was actually hired because of my Photoshop skills. We had a full mandate, and I sat down with a lawyer when I first arrived, and I got given the rules of the road, and they basically had to change and manipulate their entire line.
Really?
To be able to, they found tendencies of what the Justice Department goes after.
Like what?
An example would be on an interracial box, you must state interracial in the title.
Really?
But this is what's even more interesting.
Uh-huh.
To classify as an interracial, it must be a white woman and a black guy.
Wow.
But a white guy and a black girl is not considered interracial.
Really?
They would not go after that.
And that's according to the Justice Department.
It's the tendencies that the Justice Department – would look for companies who are selling those products without saying that,
yeah.
or things like extreme insertions and stuff like that.
Right. Now, extreme insertions.
Now, I also did.
What's
I also did several
insertion?
Lines.
That's like a baseball up your, a baseball bat up your ass or something.
I've got to read this really quickly. Dear diary, I finally let Steve put it in me, and it was better than I thought it would be. He was so big, I was really nervous at first, but once he started sliding in and out, I got used to it. Oh my god!
That was the worst part of this job, I have to admit.
You had to write the
I
copy?
Had to write all the copy. And, like, I'm not good at phone sex. I'm horrible at dirty talk. It's just, it's not my thing.
I think I used to ask you to talk dirty to me, and you would just
I would laugh uncontrollably.
You were like, I don't know what to say.
That's actually my first box I ever did, Midget Madness.
This is the first box you ever
That's
did.
That's with midgets?
It
Sex
is.
With midgets.
Midget
yes.
madness. Tiny little people with small cocks, small tits, small asses, and more.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Now, the woman on the front I actually met at Burning Man. Yeah,
yeah,
Bridget the Midget. I met at Burning Man last year.
Oh, Bridget the Midget. I've heard of her. And I think she used to come on Howard Stern or something. But look at her. She's holding a big, dripping cock.
No, it's a little dripping cock.
But that's a
cock.
Fake That's a fake cock.
Yeah, it
because,
looks like
because
it.
Because my boss at the time...
No, it doesn't. It looks
does.
Real.
Go ahead.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. That's my photo. Shop skill. My boss at the time had this thing for really huge cocks. So every photo that I got, I had to enlarge the penis by at least a few inches.
Right.
Always had to add more cum to it. I mean, it was
right. Whoa.
You know, it was just one of those things.
What a job!
This is what I had to tell my grandparents when I introduced them to my family. I was like, "This is my fiance, and yes, he enlarges penises on boxes for a living." Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man. Yeah. So wait a minute.
Now,
so,
did you have any of those experiences when you worked in porn?
No. I would like just work with the pictures, you know, sometimes create like a front. I guess I'm thinking of the websites. But before that, we would do an interactive CD-ROMs. So
okay.
I did some 3D animation on that. And like, for example, one was the Temple of Virginity, right? So I built like a 3D graphic of a pyramid, and then the whole video of going inside the pyramid, and then you go into a book, and then you can choose the chicks from there.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was sort of an interactive thing, and those are the things I did, also catalogs and flyers and things like that.
Did you ever see that Jenna Jameson video that she did that was an interactive movie? And so that what you could do is you could actually switch camera views.
Right. Yes.
While you're watching it.
Yeah.
And they had point of view camera shots.
Right.
So
yeah.
If you were a person who really got off on going down on Jenna, you could actually go to that camera angle
and
it looked like you were going down on Jenna.
Yeah.
Or if you were someone like a tit person, you could do that. If you wanted to play with their ass, you could go to that section.
So it's like a first-person perspective sort
exactly.
of thing.
Yeah. It wasn't just watching a porn. It was
like
it was really you were watching it from your eyes.
Yeah.
Some of these penises are so disgusting.
Yeah. Why?
Look
What's
at that.
Disgusting
Look at that black mamba.
I know. You wouldn't like that?
No.
A big black cock? No?
Well, the color, it's not so much the color. It's just like, whoa.
There's one actually really famous one in there.
The girls looking, young girls looking assholes?
No, not that one. There's one, do you remember, was it Cracked or Cranked magazine?
Cracked,
yes.
Yes, like Mad magazine.
Exactly.
Yes.
They did this thing where they said, 10 worst porns of all time.
Uh-huh.
And one of my porns made the list.
Really? Wow.
Worst for what?
Just...
Nasty or... Worse isn't just
like the
sucks.
Worst names ever, and the one was called Faces with Braces. But you got to also understand how this industry works is that it's really brilliant. What I don't even know if I can say it. Nah, fuck it.
I like After School Girls.
What they did was they would do all their marketing in the back of Playboy.
Mm-hmm.
And they had 100 little boxes with
right.
a small little picture
right.
and a title.
Right.
And they would get phone in orders from that. And
right.
we would get the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And upon getting the numbers, we could see which image worked best with which name.
Mm.
And so that was the basis of how we would create a box. So I would get given the numbers and
box.
I would get given the numbers and I'd have the main shot already defined, and I'd have the title, and then I'd have to go back into the back catalog, and I would actually have to pick the rest of the porn scenes,
right?
Because the way the edits worked is that legally you had whatever images were on the box,
right?
Those were the scenes that had to be in the movie,
right?
So by me actually picking all the shots, right, it actually controlled the whole editing process.
That's true.
I was really kind of
in charge,
and yeah, you know. And then I got into doing actually designing the whole lines and stuff like that, like right, cherry poppers, let's say, yeah, you know,
nothing
which was
like
a whole
perfect tits and clits rubbing together in a heated lesbo bang-o-rama.
Yeah. There's just about everything there, huh? The whole gamut. Yeah. Well, we're going to have a lot of porn stars coming in the next couple of weeks.
I really actually want to get on one of the shoots.
Yes. Well, we will. James is going to get us on one.
I never wanted to go on a shoot. I was invited a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, we had Ron Jeremy come on by. We had plenty of porn stars who just walk on through.
Right.
My mom came to my office.
Oh,
hi,
no.
Mom. It was hilarious. She comes to my office, right? And she's like walking around and she's like, "Oh, I forgot my glasses. I can't see anything. I can't see anything."
Oh my God. Jeez. Poor mother.
Yeah. So what other is this the only presents you brought? Or did
those
you
are the only presents I brought.
Oh, because
she's sticking a bowling pin up.
I thought you said we wouldn't believe what.
That's actually an interesting shot because
it was actually
in her vagina.
The whole thing?
The whole thing. So I didn't actually have a vagina shot for that.
Right.
So I had to go find another image that had similar lighting
right, as
that.
Right.
Have that photo scanned, and then I cut and pasted right, the vagina from a totally different woman
right,
and put it on Bridget, and then had to redo the whole end and all that. So yeah, that's not even
that's
her
a
vagina.
Good job. Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. But that's a rather big bowling pin there.
Look,
so,
imagine shoving. Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't know why people get off on this shit. You know, inserting a bowling pin in your pussy. I mean, what's the big deal?
Lava
there?
Lamps, you name it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
People are weird in the shit that they like, you know? But no, you said you brought some stuff that we wouldn't believe what you brought, and I thought maybe you'd bring some really nasty dildos or something.
No, but, I left those at home.
I got all those.
So you also have she-males video
sexy
over there.
Sexy she-males.
I think there's some gay porn in there, too, and whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, once you're in it, you just, as you said, you're totally desensitized.
Yeah,
you
were desensitized.
It's just like, whatever.
It means nothing. Yeah, it means nothing.
I mean, the fun thing about being in the office is that we also did... We stole the designs of toys and whatnot. And so mm-hmm, we had our whole line. And I remember on my desk, I had this huge fake ass, you know. And it actually had a hole for the ass and the vagina. Mm-hmm. And it even had like hard plastic inside to sim- mm-hmm, to stimulate the bone structure.
Ew.
Of woman. And it was right on the edge of my desk. And every time someone walked on by, they just slap it.
Smack that ass.
Are you an ass man? Do you like ass?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. You're into anal and stuff.
Absolutely.
But Susie wouldn't
let
you
do it. I
didn't know that. Yeah.
We've done it.
Have we?
Yes.
Really?
Excuse me, I thought you don't like it, Susie.
I don't remember.
Well, you know, I mean, what I found with...
You would have remembered if you had it
what,
up the
what I found is that a lot of women really need to be comfortable with the man mm-hmm, to and feel trace or safe and trusting. Right. In the
Franz will be so mad if he hears that that happened. And then
you're going to have to be so... Yeah, you have to be very comfortable with it. Hey, I'm trying to change the subject. But, yeah, so... Yeah, Susie, I think you would have remembered if it happened. But he claims it did.
There are a lot of things that I don't remember, believe it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe. Yeah. Hard to believe. Yeah. But Eric here is here to say that you did have anal sex with
you
him.
You know what? I'll believe him.
Yeah. So maybe I can ask you, what is attractive to you about the ass?
Something different.
Yeah.
Just something fun. You know, I mean, I like a lot of variety.
Yeah.
So.
But you don't find it, like, disgusting with ass smell and things like that?
The only thing that really grosses me out, mm-hmm, and this is a porn thing for sure, is when someone's doing in the ass and then they come around and then they blow the cock afterwards. To me, that's...
Wait, in the ass?
Well, no. First they're doing it in the ass, and then she turns around. She's like, "Let me suck you off."
Right.
And she's basically sucking her own shit. And that's just so gross. It's like once you go in, that's it. You're not going to go back into the vagina. I wouldn't want to put my. I wouldn't want to destroy a vagina that way. And you know, it's just like once you're there, you know, you're kind of there for the rest of the day.
Yeah. So. Do you feel like you're sort of in control when you penetrate a woman from behind or? And yes.
I mean, it's the same as if you're doing someone doggy style.
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. It's still going into a nasty area, I think, you know. But, hey, I respect your liking this. I wish I did.
But I mean, okay, now what about the guys who take the dildos up the ass?
Yeah, well,
like
that's
strap-ons.
That's another story altogether.
I mean, we've seen every fetish out here, so it's
no, absolutely. Absolutely. But I think if a guy sticks a dildo anywhere, he's gay.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. It might be a little extreme, but yeah, I don't think guys should mess around with cocks at all.
I'm gonna have to disagree with you.
Okay, go ahead.
And it's not necessarily a cock.
Right.
And this is the reason why I have to say that. My very, very first sexual experience, the girl I was with, we were a year and a half, and she was we experimented a lot.
Right.
And she was really the first person that taught me about the prostate gland and playing with the prostate gland.
Right.
And I have to say, as a man, to have your prostate played with is incredible.
Mm.
But the prostate, the only way you can reach it is going up your ass.
Yes, sir.
All it takes is a finger.
Yes, sir.
It's not like it's like a vagina. I mean, it's not like it's a dildo or something like that. But, you know.
So if a girl sticks a finger up an ass, Sam, you think... up a male's ass, you think that's gay?
I do.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
I do. I really
do. So you've
do,
never had a finger in your ass?
No.
It's
never.
Your G-spot.
But not because it's gay, because I don't like the ass. That's the thing, you know? But that would make me feel very vulnerable. You know, and that's the thing. Yeah.
I think you need to be strapped down and just have someone lube up your ass and just stick it in
there. No.
I have absolutely no desire, though.
You should take it freely. It's your G spot. I promise you, if you ever decide to do it, you could have a totally toe curling.
Right.
Orgasm. Multiple orgasms.
Look, I believe
it's
that.
Insane.
I believe that. But you know what? What I'm saying is this, is my orgasms are so great anyway that it's not like I really have the need for this. Now, but at the same time, like I said, I respect that other people do like to explore. They like to try different things. I just think personally that, you know, if I messed with anything that looks like a cock and put it inside the ass, then it's gay.
You're a square.
Okay.
Fuck you. I mean, I just got this new toy that's actually designed for men to be able
prostate,
to be to be a self-stimulator of the prostate.
Wow.
And
does it vibrate?
No, it doesn't vibrate. But the way it's shaped is that it basically just like when remember the balls I got you? To be able to help the was it Kugling or mechanism. Men, if you train your actually sphincter and the muscles back there, you can actually help stimulate and pump your own prostate. Mm. And that's basically what this thing does.
That sounds so gross. Yeah.
Well, you sort of mixed on this. So you're gross one time and then it looks good to you another.
I don't like thinking of pumping. Pumping.
but once you learn how to do as a man, you can self-do it. And so you, as a man, you're in control and you don't, if a girl you're with doesn't find it comfortable to be there, so mote it be. I mean, you can still get off, and you're in control of your own orgasm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. Never had a need to get the ass involved at all, but what do I know? What do I know?
It's not about the ass at that point. It's about your prostate.
Yeah.
And it's about milking your prostate. Yeah. You know, and the sad thing is so many men in this country, you know, they get they really don't allow their prostate to be properly milked, and we have an increase of prostate cancer, which I actually believe is
correlated
with that. Because
I think it's correlated with not ejaculating enough. I think during life,
I would absolutely agree. Because it happens to older men.
Yeah,
it happens probably when they've been in relationships longer. Mm-hmm. You know, and they maybe have sex twice a year if they're lucky.
Yeah, but you masturbate. I mean, if you masturbate all the time,
my
you don't
dad
need to
does
worry
not masturbate
it.
Whatsoever.
You
don't
how
know
do you
that.
Know?
You don't know that.
Please.
Yeah. Who wants to imagine their parents do? But I'll bet you that he does. You know, everybody does.
I really think the man's lost his libido at this point.
You never know. But maybe you're right. I mean, I don't know your dad. Yeah, I don't know.
But I mean, my dad is not nearly as kind of as fit and as active as you are. I mean, I know you love it. And
fit.
Well,
fuck you, okay? Look, I mean, listen to her.
I love you, Sam.
She's like banging on me all day. I mean, I don't know what this
really?
Is.
Really? Yeah. Banging on you, huh?
Yeah, exactly. That's what she's doing. She's not banging me. She's banging on me.
I thought we could say anything we want here. I thought it was supposed to be a free forum.
Yeah, but when I say that to you, it's like we get all the listeners complaining, and then you can say anything you want. But that's okay. Hey, we'll see you at 48.
I am just worried about your health. I want you to exercise and just things like that and eat healthy.
No,
I want you to be alive and kicking when I am 48.
You're right.
When we're still here,
but I do look fit,
thing.
Right? I look fit.
You
so,
do.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So that's all that matters. Rather look good than feel good. I already
Sam,
told you.
Sam, that is so awful.
That's horrible.
No, I'm just reciting a funny thing for Billy Crystal.
But oh my God. You said that before, and I don't like that.
No, it's just funny. That's why I say it. But but no, so yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. Anything near the ass to me is gay, and but again, that's just me. You know?
To me,
so
it's anything near a guy's face is gay. Yeah. I mean, I used to live with several gay roommates and bi roommates and stuff, and to me, that's the biggest turnoff is just the beard. It's the hardness. It's just the smell. It's just like not something I really want to snuggle up next to. Yeah. I like...
Well, you can find feminine men as well. You know?
You absolutely couldn't.
Yeah. But they wake up in the morning
and
they've got
several trannies, you know, in my life.
Yeah.
You know, with the big Adam's apple and, you know, they've taken all the hormones and they have these small little tits that are just kind of popping on out. Right.
Who we had someone in the studio that was like obsessed with like men's Adam's apple.
Yeah,
some girl
was that Queen Bee.
I think so.
She was obsessed with men's Adam's apples, and that's just that's so gross.
Is that the one with the humongous boobs?
That's the humongous boobs.
Yeah,
and I put it right there on Facebook too for everybody to see.
Did you really?
Yeah, it's on my.
You put
page
a picture
right
of her up there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I got to see this
with Susie and.
I haven't
her friend.
Seen that one.
Yeah, it's right on my front page. You can't miss it because now what they do is they take a photo, one photo of your albums, and they make it really large, and you can't get rid of it.
What do you mean you can't get rid of it?
I don't know.
You can hide any picture in Facebook, and you can hide it to just for you to see it. It's all in a security setting.
No, I understand, but it's not about that. It's about I just don't want any large pictures.
Oh.
I don't want to hide any pictures, but I don't want it to be so big. But that's the new design. So at any rate,
I don't like Facebook. The new design of Facebook.
No, it's not that great. But I can see where they came from. They're trying to sort of integrate everything.
Well, they definitely tried to web optimize it for like phones and all that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah, and that works pretty well, actually. You know?
I know. I like getting it on my phone.
Yeah.
But that's a reason why I don't actually usually see a lot of pictures, because sometimes my phone takes too long and I could just see people's, you know, what they're doing.
Right.
And then just like make a little response or something, but I don't usually get the full Facebook experience, if you will.
You know, but what Facebook did away with is those networks, you know? Like, if you remember, there used to be like a central place for every network. Work like LA, for example, there
That's
was
right.
a page for LA. They had a wall for LA, and so you could sort of like just kind of meet people out of nowhere because the pictures are random there. So they did away with that. You know, now there's no one place to hang out.
It's still there. It's just really hard to get access to, and that came from because they really started in schools. They started out of Harvard and. And it really wasn't about what city network you were part of. It was what school you were part of. And you could only see your fellow classmates. And then it kind of expanded into cities. But you can't really – but once you belong to a network, everything else gets closed. You can't see – you know, you can't go to Reno, Nevada and explore your friends up there.
That's
when
true.
You're just trying
That's
to
– because you had to switch
someone.
A network and then you had to wait 60 days. And blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Wow. So,
there, it's a picture I found. You're right. It's huge.
Let me see.
A picture of what?
I see exactly what you mean now. The picture is just like there, front and center on the website.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're like, G's?
G's. Is that even a bra size?
I don't know what that is. But, yeah, those are huge. Those were huge. And
G's
she makes
ass.
Sure that she shows everybody. By the
but
way,
even the girl in pink has big boobs.
The girl
in
pink.
Yeah,
the
her,
black girl?
Her friend that came with?
Her friend?
Yeah.
I didn't notice her. She wasn't very... sexual, you know? I mean, she said she was. She just doesn't across. She comes across very conservative and stuff, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
Where is she from?
But I don't know.
Is she from Pasadena, by any chance?
Why do you
possibly?
Know her?
Well, I do know I of think. A big queen bee group
yes.
up there.
I think she is
in
Pasadena. I think
interesting.
So, yeah. That's Queen Bee. I can't.
Is she doing a show?
Yeah, she will be. Yeah. By the way, if you want to listen to the show, I think that was last week or 2 weeks ago, actually.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You can see in the archives, Queen Bee. It was a very fun interview, actually.
I know it was. Yeah, it was
and
cool.
I've downloaded it. I try and listen. I can't listen during the morning and stuff.
Right, live.
But I pretty much download most of them. And there are a few that I haven't hit. That's one of them.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the interview with Queen Bee, and she's pretty big. She admitted to being 250 pounds.
Yep.
But she carries it rather well, you know. I mean, for 250 pounds.
Well, when you got tits like that, they probably weigh 30-40 pounds.
There you go,
you know,
by
right
themselves.
There.
Yeah, and she makes sure. I mean, look, you'd notice them anyway, but she just makes sure that she always has the biggest cleavage.
She wears shirts that I would wear.
Yeah, like biggest cleavage. And push-up bras and everything, you know. So they're just like practically falling out of.
But I mean, a woman with tits that size, looks better, heavier. When you get these little scrawny girls with like pencil-thin waists with huge fake tits, it looks obnoxious. It looks as fake as a Mattel Barbie doll.
But also, like, if you start losing weight as a woman, the first thing you lose weight on is your boobs.
Oh, I see.
So, you know, the boobs will shrink, and then everything else, like your ass, your thighs, and your stomach, that's going to be the last to shrink.
Right.
Anytime a woman loses weight, first thing that goes is the boobs.
Really?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's why, like, when I get a little bit fatter, I'm just like, yeah, I might be 10 pounds overweight, but I'm a bee now.
But you get boobs.
Yes! And it's like, I could actually get some cleavage and push up.
Yeah.
I get really excited.
I was going to tell you, actually, you look pretty flat today.
Oh, thank you.
Why?
I thought that was maybe the stress.
Yeah, now that you're pushing him up, but no, I mean they look. I'm not putting down your boobs. I'm just saying they look small today. What do you want me to do?
That's all right. They're the same there every day.
All right, guys. Well, we need to wrap this up. So, Eric, do you have a website anywhere where people can go see you? Facebook?
You can just Google Poe Miller Arts. You can find me on
Poe Miller?
Poe Miller. POEMILLERARTS.
Okay. And that's you?
That's me.
Mm. So how is that Paul and you're Eric?
Poe.
Oh, Poe. I'm sorry.
It's a family name. It's a family name.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah. How did I think?
As in Edgar Allan Poe.
Right.
Same family.
Same family.
Yeah.
Wow. You seem like from a rich family, are you?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. You were born with a silver spoon?
No. I wasn't born with a silver spoon.
Okay. Well, I thought so. I don't know. At any rate, so you're making a decent living now doing graphics?
He actually isn't working with his hand.
Are you left-handed?
I am right-handed. Yeah. We actually closed down four companies I was working for at the end of August. So, and then this happened 2 weeks later. So I've really... It's been nice to actually slow down and just try and regroup and get everything together for the next adventure.
Yeah. And how do you pay the bills? Hard?
Okay. Savings.
All right. That's for another show. All right.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Pleasure.
Sam,
Susie,
until tomorrow.
Thanks so much for bringing Eric in.
You're welcome.
It's been fun. And you guys brought back some memories, I guess. Brought up some memories. And that is cool. And Eric, so I guess Susie gets to keep all these covers now, right?
Hell no.
No. That's from the days when they still had the VHS, isn't it?
Yeah.
The big boxes.
Yeah, those are all the VHS ones.
This is a big box.
Boxes, yeah.
We've had a lot of boxes.
Licking manholes.
Licking manholes. That's for you, Sam.
There's just about anything here, yeah. I mean, these are big toss salads there. And I don't know. Ass to me equals gross.
And on that note, signing off, Sam and Susie.
All right, everyone. And remember, Susie won't be here on Friday. I'm still trying to figure out whether I'll have a show because we do have some guests and I might have a co-host, one of our great hosts on the station. So we'll see. But we'll definitely be here tomorrow. So don't forget, right here at 9 o'clock. Have a great day.